I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oh, this is a deep dive. What say you, Mace? That's a very deep dive by Morales.
Yeah. No, I'm a big exclamation point guy.
Ooh.
I'm a big dot, dot, dot guy. I do like my punctuation.
All I know is that I hope he doesn't make your podcast disappear.
Who?
This Mason Mafia guy.
Oh, I doubt that. So we were talking about Michael Jordan and whether or not what he would be like in this modern NBA. Bergman brought this up during Jump Ball. And John and I both said, you know, in an era where there's no hand-checking, look out, Michael Jordan would destroy this league. James Porras made an interesting point on Twitter. He says, Michael Jordan would not be able to handle today's NBA. The social media 24/7 sports news cycle and the pressure would destroy him. On The Last Dance, he was complaining about mentally breaking down over his fame in the 90s, where he just wanted to stay in his hotel. It does add a different dynamic, the idea of social media, if Michael Jordan was playing in this era.
But don't the stars of any era adjust to whatever the spotlight is?
You don't think it adds? I mean, look at the number of guys who step away saying, you know, I'm having mental health issues. A lot of that has to do with social media. A lot of that has to do with constant criticism. A lot of that has to do with the 24/7 news cycle that exists. Even for the there's a 24/7 news cycle now for the NBA.
True, but I think that Michael would just adjust to it. I mean, like right now, we have less access to players than we've ever had before.
Or do we have more because of social media?
No, there's a brighter spotlight on him because of social media. There are more people writing and talking about him.
But a fan can actually reach out directly to an NBA star right now and say something.
Right, but unless you're Kevin Durant, are you going to respond to it?
It doesn't happen very often. It does happen, but it doesn't happen very often.
All right, so we were talking earlier about actors with that Tom Holland question that Greg had.
Yes.
Can they break out of their role? And Jesus tweets us, Emilia Clarke was amazing in Me Before You and in Last Christmas. I saw both those movies, and she was very, very good. Emilia Clarke has one of the great practical jokes.
She's Khaleesi.
Stories, yeah, of all time. Have you heard, you know, she lives in Venice by you.
Yeah, yeah.
So one time, she's from England.
Uh-huh.
So one time she's in Venice and her mom comes from England to visit her.
Okay.
And she has a small place in Venice, you know, where you guys live costs a lot of money, so the houses aren't too big. And so she says to her mom, hey, mom, on Friday, her mom's been there for a couple of weeks. And she says, on Friday, I'm going out with this guy and I really like him and I want to be able to bring him back to my place. But I can't do that if you're here. Can I put you up in a hotel for one night? So in case things get intimate with this guy,
right,
I can bring him back here. And her mom says, of course. Yeah, I'd be, you know, happy to help. So Emilia Clarke gets her mom a hotel room. And her mom, this is a joke that your mom would play on you.
Okay.
Her mom goes out and finds all of these pillows with Khaleesi's face on them, with Emilia Clarke's face on them. And she buys like 12 of them. And she puts them all over the bed, all over the couch, all over the bed. She gets like a blanket that has Khaleesi's face on it and puts it at the end of the bed. And so when Emilia Clarke brings this guy back to the apartment, she takes him in there. And the guy is like completely turned off. Like, how conceited are you?
Right.
Wouldn't your mom do that to you?
Oh, she absolutely would. She absolutely would. Yeah. No, we're a family of practical jokes. That would be a great one.
I thought that was good for Emilia Clarke's mom. Good sense of humor there.
So I mentioned James Bond. We actually talked a little bit about this. Daniel Craig is James Bond. No Time to Die, I saw in the theaters. I thought it was great. I thought the villains were good. Both Christoph Waltz and Rami Malek.
Yeah,
Rami Malek was great in it as the villain. So Esquire magazine did an interview with The Rock, and he said this: "My grandfather was a Bond villain in You Only Live Twice with Sean Connery. Very, very cool. I would like to follow in his footsteps and be the next Bond. I don't want to be a villain. Got to be Bond. What about The Rock as Bond?"
This is going to be a weird thing to say, but part of what makes James Bond such a compelling character is he kind of looks like an everyman. The Rock is too physically big to be Bond. In other words, think of all the guys who've played Bond. Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore, Daniel Craig, Timothy Dalton. They're handsome guys, but they all look like there's nobody that looks like the world's greatest athlete like The Rock does. I think The Rock is too physically big to play Bond. What do you think?
I think he's wrong for the role, not because of his size, but because he's not British. We've never had an American Bond.
Don't you think Tom Hiddleston would be perfect?
Richard Madden would be really good.
Tom Hardy would be good. Richard Madden is very short. He's about 5'7", 5'8", but so is Tom Cruise. So, I mean, you could
Daniel Craig's only 5'10".
Yeah, you could make it work. I think Tom Hiddleston, who's 6'4", would be perfect.
Tallest Bond, Sean Connery. He was 6'2".
Rob, taller than Roger Moore? I think Roger Moore was 6'4". I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think you've got to go British. If you're doing Bond, I think you got to have a British Bond.
Do you think that some people have speculated Bond could be a woman? What do you think?
No. No, I mean, has anybody read these books? Bond is a British man. I mean, you don't change and flip to a woman. It makes no sense to me.
By the way, you're right. Roger Moore was 6'1".
6'1"?
Timothy Dalton, 6'2".
So they were taller.
No. You're right about Connery. Yeah, they're right about Connery.
Connery, 6'2". Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think The Rock can do a lot of things. I just don't think he's James Bond. I don't think he's James Bond. So we always laugh. Hit Seinfeld. We always laugh when Magic Johnson says it. Because
This was a little disappointing to me.
So they're the most, and the word is earnest, right? They're very sort of golly gee and obvious. You're never going to get any edgy commentary from Magic Johnson on his Twitter account. Fair to say?
No, and they're so earnest that you're wondering what in the world, like, why did he write something just so generic? And now I think we got our answer.
So Rob Lowe is a close friend of Magic Johnson, and he has talked in the New York Post about an assistant who turns what Johnson says into a tweet. He says, Rob Lowe says, last night I found Magic Johnson does not physically do any of his tweets, which may explain some of it. So it's articulated clearly across the room while he's doing 17 other things, a titan of the industry, and then there is this woman whose job it is to figure out what he's talking about and make it into a tweet.
So I just pulled up his account. Here's some examples of what we're talking about. Welcome to L.A., Odell Beckham Jr., ! Hopefully, OBJ and Von Miller can help lead the Rams to the Super Bowl, ! Later, big early season win for the Lakers, beating the Heat 120-117 in OT, ! Cookie and I hanging out at the Lakers Heat game with a picture of him and Cookie. And now it makes sense that this was always somebody else. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus, and I learned to trust in God, ! I'm so excited to announce that my upcoming documentary will be released globally on Apple TV,
They're just like really obvious, generic-feeling tweets. We always wait for Magic to tweet something generic.
Right.
And now we know why.
At one point I created a game. Magic tweet or not a magic tweet, and I just wrote down the simplest things I could think of and made you guys guess. And you got about half of them wrong. because he just really is always the simplest thing. So I was a little disappointed that it wasn't him, weren't you?
You know, it makes – actually, I think it makes him look a little bit better. I think Magic Johnson is probably an edgier human being than his assistant makes him out to be. But
I hope the Rams face the Cowboys for the NFC Championship. It'll be must-see TV. 3 exclamation points.
So imagine that. So somewhere across the room, Magic is talking to somebody saying, man, wouldn't it be great if the Cowboys played the Rams in the NFC Championship? And then the assistant's like, hope the Rams play the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. That would be great.
The assistant's over there like, ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. No, let's make that a tweet. Let's make that a tweet. That's basically what's going on. You know who used to be like that was Pete Carroll. Remember right,
Right, he had a guy in his office writing his tweets.
Yeah, but would basically listen to what Pete was saying. Now, it takes – you've really got to trust somebody to hand over the keys to your social media accounts. Like, would you ever do that, John?
I would do it – I would trust Carlo Sisu.
Yeah.
He's about the only one I would trust.
Yeah, that's scary to give somebody your social media – like, people that have the social media managers.
Maybe Janice – but Janice could be bribed.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I know she knows what she's doing, but I would be worried. I mean, I'm trying to think of who Morales could get to and bribe, and I would be afraid he could threaten Janice with her job and she would cave.
I would never let the snake have access to my social media account. Can you imagine?
But Carlo, you'd that Carlo, right?
Oh, Carlo for sure. Carlo would be great. All right, coming up next, time to do some gambling. It's Thursday. That means 3:15. We get the foremost expert on sports gaming in the entire world, on the entire planet. That is Steve Fezzik, the Fez, and that's coming up next for you. Mason and I – oh, and don't forget, lie of the day. At some point, John Ireland will or has told a lie. If you think you know what it is, at 3:30, be ready to call in. And if you get it right, you win a pair of Lakers tickets. Lakers-Kings at Staples Center or crypto.com arena, one or the other. I'm not sure when the game is actually going to be played, but you will be there in that building. The artist formerly known as Staples Center. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of gambling guys around the world. There are a lot of sports gaming experts, but there is really only one who qualifies as the greatest on the planet, and that is Steve Fezzik, the Fez, and he joins us right now. Fez, what's going on, man?
I just bet the Atlanta Falcons under 7.5 wins, -165. How, I ask you, how are the Atlanta Falcons going 8-9 this year?
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. But Fez, I feel very strongly, and I haven't done it yet, but I feel very strongly about making a mythical money bet tonight on the Patriots. Belichick has dominated rookie head coaches throughout his entire career. The line opened at 4. It's moved to 6.5. So if the Patriots win by a touchdown, I would still cover. Am I on the right side of the game if I bet the Patriots tonight giving 6.5?
I think you likely are on the right side. Oftentimes, as a professional gambler, you want to look at the very best way to wager on something, and you nailed it. Because the line's all the way up to 6.5, I just didn't want to pay that tax. I'm confident New England's going to win, so I thought the best way at it, when I look at this Falcon team, if you have access to this, you know, playing them under 7.5 wins, they lose tonight, there is no chance. Okay, there's always a chance, but there's extremely unlikely that Atlanta's going to get to 8 wins, and that's the way I faded the Falcons tonight.
So how much would you potentially win on a bet? Like, what are the odds of taking that bet that you're talking about?
Yeah, so you've got to pay -165 in Vigorous. That's the odds at FanDuel right now, -175 at DraftKings. I'll average them. Call it -170. You got to risk $1,700 to win $1,000.
Okay. So
the Rams lost Monday night. And in terrible fashion, they absolutely got steamrolled by the San Francisco 49ers. How did that affect the Rams in your personal power rankings in the NFL?
Yeah, so I still have the Rams top five. I haven't downgraded them that much. I might add, I'm to blame for this. I bet Matthew Stafford 6-1 to win MVP. And right after I did that, the Rams had two straight bad games. But the bottom line, lots of parity at the top of the NFL. I have Tampa and Buffalo, my top two teams. But I only have the Rams a point behind them. So they're still a top five team. I think everything will be fine.
Fez, the game of the week in the NFL is Dallas at Kansas City. It opened Chiefs up favored by 2.5. It is still, after a week of betting, Chiefs favored by 2.5. What's the right side of that game?
Well, I think that Dallas is the right side. But I might add, oftentimes, I agree with other wise guys. There is tremendous disagreement about Kansas City. I have Dallas a clear-cut better team. I have Dallas catching 2.5 as a bet. But there are other sharps that actually like Kansas City in this game, and their logic is that they're still waiting how good Kansas City was supposed to be to start the year, preseason expectations, and they're saying, you know what, these teams have only played 10 games. It's just not a big enough sample. Think about like a baseball team. Who cares if a baseball team is 7-3 or 3-7? But in the NFL, usually by the time we get to Thanksgiving, I'm pretty much basing all my projections, most of them, on how you did this year, and I'm no longer caring too much in terms of prior evaluations, but some guys still do.
Steve Fezzik, the Fez, is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So do something a little different here. The last quarter, business quarter, for casino revenue in Vegas is the highest it's ever been. And that doesn't account for, like, the surge in all kinds of Southern California casinos like Hollywood Park Casino, Morongo, Fantasy Springs, all those guys. And I've got a theory here on why Vegas is off to such a gigantic – just had such a gigantic quarter. I think part of the reason is people are now used to gambling at home. For example, sports gambling. So, in other words, on my phone, I can go to DraftKings and I can make an over bet or an under bet in states where that is legal. I think then what people want to do is they want to go to Vegas and experience in that environment, and that's resulting in the boom in sports gaming at casinos. What do you think of that theory?
You are spot on, and this has been going on for 20-plus years. When Iowa got gambling in Council Bluffs, people are like, no one in Iowa is going to travel to Vegas anymore. Wrong. They're going to get a taste of gambling. And now they're going to want to do it big time and come to Vegas and come to Circa and the Mirage and Bellagio and play in the mecca of sports gambling here. So that has absolutely fueled the demand. Our sports betting handle is as high as it has ever been. We're setting records despite all the legalization and all the other states, all the pent-up demand to get out and travel as well. When people didn't travel last year, I think it just continues. I will say this, America is not getting smarter in their sports gambling. Nevada and New Jersey, particularly, are holding almost 10%. So every $100 that's wagered, the casinos are making $10. If you randomly walked up and bet on any team on a straight wager, you're only losing at 4.5%. So the average person is twice as dumb as a drunk baby randomly making a wager.
Nice.
All right, Fitz, before we get to your best bet, Mason mentioned the Rams are off this week. They have a bye, but the Chargers have a home game, Sunday Night Football against the Steelers.
Well, when you say home game, put air quotes around it.
Yeah, it'll sound like a Steelers home game because Pittsburgh's fans travel really well. But the Chargers are up to a 5.5-point favorite in that game, Fez. What's the right side of that one?
I'm going to pass the game, but at less than 6, I would play the Chargers. I think there's a good chance it's going to be Mason Rudolph, and the Chargers still are a significantly above-average team. The Steelers are a significantly below-average team. Given that, and they get to sleep in their own beds or in the hotel next to the stadium, I will go ahead and I would invest in the Chargers, a team I do expect to make the playoffs. Bold prediction, Pittsburgh will not be favored in any games the rest of the year.
Interesting.
Okay, what's your best bet this week?
I'm going to get us a winner here tonight. I'm going under New England, Atlanta, under 47, and it's all about the fact that Atlanta's playmakers are completely compromised. Ridley, obviously not playing. Cordell Patterson is injured. They have one really good skill position player, but Belichick takes away your best player. So I don't think Pitts is going to have much of a game. I think New England will be content to ball control, not make mistakes, grind out a 23-16 win. I'm on the under 47.
Okay, there you have it. Hey, Fez, great talking to you, man. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Outstanding. Have fun, guys.
Thanks, man. All right, so...
Hey, Bergman. Bergman, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
10K on the Patriots tonight. Lay the 6.5.
Mason already has it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
does he have the... Okay,
I have $10,000 on the Patriots minus 6.5 over Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can have it.
You can go the other way if you want.
Nah,
yeah,
I don't
go the other way.
I think
the under,
no,
like
I think Mason,
Fez says.
Nah, don't want it. I think the Patriots dropped 54 last week. I think Fez is going to lose that bet.
All right, there you have it. All right, coming up next for you, John has told a lie at some point during the show today. Some point today he told a lie. Now I've got an idea, and then I thought about it, and I thought, no, that idea is wrong.
Stop lying. You guys all know what the lie is because we almost screwed it up. But if you're listening on the stream, you have an advantage. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So if you think you know the lie, right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. It is Lakers Ticket Thursday, which means if you get the lie, you win a pair of tickets to see Lakers Kings at Crypto.com Arena.
No, it's Staples Center until Christmas.
Okay, still Staples Center. One of the last games at Staples Center. Plus a Vote for Jorge t-shirt that's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, and you can believe me or not, it is not me. I am not the Mace, is it the Mace Mafia? The Mason Mafia. I am not that guy, Mason Mafia. You guys are arguing with some guy out there who created this Twitter account, who's very, very funny, but it's occupying way too much of you guys' time.
All right, take a straw poll. Bergman, do you think the Mason Mafia Twitter account is Mason?
100% yes.
Jorge, do you think the Mason Mafia Twitter account is Mason?
100% yes.
I am also in agreement, 100% yes. So, much like when you were Dora the Medium, you
the
have fooled no one.
The joke is completely on you guys on this one.
Okay.
Why are you getting mad, though?
I'm edgy.
It's not you.
I am not upset.
This last thing he said, don't forget it. Who brought you up? You've said that to me so many times.
Yeah, guys, you're arguing with somebody out there that is not me.
With an egg. With a Twitter egg.
With a Twitter egg. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, we told a lie, or Ireland told a lie today. At some point during the show, he told a lie. And it's Lakers Ticket Thursday. And this is the place where you win Lakers tickets every single Thursday. And if you can sniff out John's lie right now, you will score for yourself a pair of tickets to Lakers Kings, one of the final games at Staples Center before it becomes Crypto.com Arena. You can be there if you know John's lie. Now, I've got the callers up. Jorge, why don't you shout out a number?
Wait a minute. Bergman, do you remember what you challenged me to do?
Yes, I do. I did. Can you do
what
it?
What did you challenge me to do?
I challenged you to do a bongo drum theme or a poem about Lakers Ticket Thursday.
All right, give me the drums. If it's Lakers tickets that you seek, we give them away every week. You'll get to see LeBron and AD, and the best part is the tickets are free. You get the chance to say goodbye to Staples Center. It could be the crypt the next time you enter. Sacramento is the opponent that night. Hopefully the Queens will put up a fight. To win, you must sniff out our lies. We'll give you a hint after a few tries. So let's find out who wins today. And don't forget to vote for Jorge.
Hey!
Yes, bravo! Bravo!
That is an excellent, excellent piece of work, Ireland.
That is just a warm-up to what I will deliver at the Mandy Awards.
Awesome, man. Awesome. All right, so let's see. Let's see who's on the line. Why don't we go line four, Parth in Huntington Beach. Parth, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys.
Parth, what's the lie?
John said that Emilia Clarke lives in Venice Beach. She doesn't live there anymore.
No, that's not the lie. She may have moved, but that was not the lie, Parth.
And that was a true story about the pillows?
Yeah, she told it on the Tonight Show. Yeah. Okay,
all right,
Parth,
sorry about that. Okay. There's a difference between a lie and a mistake.
Right. Well, and plus, it wasn't she lived there when that happened. So
correct.
That story
correct.
Was actually true.
Let's try Enrique in Covina. Enrique, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What's happening, guys?
Hi, Enrique.
All is great.
Okay, I think the lie is that Diana Ross didn't sit behind you at the concert you were at.
Oh, Enrique, no,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. She did.
We did
sit
have
behind
better
us
seats
at the concert
than Diana Ross. Yes. She loved that show. She was up singing, had the hair, the whole Diana Ross experience. Let's go to Mark in Ontario. Mark, you're on 710. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hi, Mark.
Great. So what's the lie?
I think it's that his buddy Rob Fukuzaki's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's a very interesting guess. And it happens to be 100% right. Way to go.
Woo, baby.
You win the Laker tickets.
So
awesome.
Rob
Thank
does
you.
Not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of
and
Fame.
And as far as I know, neither does Fred. I think those everybody else I mentioned on that list does, but those two guys do not. So
Thank you, guys.
Hey, good job, man. You're going to be at one of the final games of the Staples Center before it turns out to be Crypto.com Arena. Enjoy the game, and thanks for being out there and listening, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you. My son's going to love the game.
Awesome, right, man. Excellent. That's great.
Vote There's for Jorge.
Mark in Ontario. And don't forget to vote for Jorge.
You know, Jorge, who's your competition in this vote?
No, it's Lara.
No, stop.
It's Lara.
No, let's just.
It's Jorge versus Lara.
Who else is nominated?
Taylor
and
Smith.
Laura.
Yeah, Taylor Smith is not a factor in this race.
Taylor and Laura.
Why not?
Bergman, why aren't you in it?
Because that's associate producer.
Associate
the producer,
producer
of the year.
Oh,
and
okay.
If for producer of the year, vote for Emily, vote for Lindsay.
Or Greg.
No.
No, vote for Greg.
No, vote for Lindsay.
I'm fully endorsing everybody from our show. Yeah, by the way, John, you know what I'm endorsing you for?
What's that?
Most knowledgeable. Most knowledgeable.
Okay, so even if I win it, you know Morales won't give it to me, so who will he give it to?
Probably Keyshawn. He'll probably give everything to
Keyshawn. Oh,
that's
right. He kisses Key's ass. That's
he
true.
Does. He's a Keyshawn ass kisser.
He
There's
has
no,
no control over the vote whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're doing this legit.
It is
I think
completely
they're doing
legit.
It fair and square. Although I'll say this. I don't think anybody's going to be like Billie Eilish holding 8 trophies at the end of the night. I think probably the awards are going to be spread around. I'm just guessing. Going to be spread around a little bit.
Maybe. And maybe Keyshawn will get all of them.
It's very possible. He is flying all the way from New York to do this. He's the host. The Mandy Awards, by the way, are sold out. We should let you know that. We've been selling tickets for the last couple of days. Officially sold out. Now the only way to get in is to win tickets, and we will start giving those away as we get towards Christmas. The event is February the 6th. It's the Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl. It's at Quiet Canyon in Montebello, and again, it is completely and totally sold out. Thank you very much. This night is for you guys. You can hang out with everybody here at the station. There will be no recording devices allowed, so you will hear stuff that you've never heard before. Coming up
all
next.
Right. Wait a minute.
Go
wait
ahead,
a minute. So this is going to determine my strategy for Game of Games today.
Okay.
Mace, it's your game, right?
My game, correct.
Is it a name is your buzzer game?
I mean, look, it is not a name as your buzzer.
Okay,
game.
So I'm okay, Greg. I was going to ask how bad the delay was.
Your delay is perfect right now.
Yeah, your delay is actually
I'm
not bad
Boston
at all.
I'm in Boston today, for people who don't know. And so I'm here for Lakers-Celtics tomorrow night. But if my delay was bad, Mace, I was going to have to change strategies and just buzz in recklessly. But
no,
this is
make a name as your buzzer. Make a name as your buzzer.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take that back. It is a name as your buzzer.
Ah, crap. All right. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, I think you've got an advantage in it.
All right, we'll see.
All right, that's coming up next for you, Game of Games. And the month is really wild because Ireland has won 3. I've won 2. Bergman's won 2. Jorge won 1. Sedano won 1. Kaplan won 1. Michael Thompson won 1. Kiki won 1. And by the way, anytime Sedano or Kaplan want to jump on and play and try to hit the scoreboard, they absolutely can. So, Bergman, I'm just letting that let people know out there. The game is called Who Am I, and we will play it next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games time. Month of November is wild. Just about everybody has hit the scoreboard. Technically, Ireland has the lead. He is on the road in Boston. Tomorrow, it is Lakers-Celtics in Boston, and we will have that game for you. Momo will be filling in for John. As the Lakers continue that 5-game road trip. Now, here we go, guys. Bergman, Jorge, look alive. Ireland, look alive. The game is called Who Am I? I will give you clues as a famous person. You tell me who it is.
What's it called again?
Who Am I?
Mason Mafia.
Mason Mafia. Okay, you guys continue to believe that myth.
Dora the Medium.
Number one, my father was a soap star for 32 years on Days of Our Lives.
Ireland. It's Jennifer Aniston.
It is Jennifer Aniston.
Oh,
excellent.
My goodness. This game
is
not going to go well
for I am the executive producer of the morning show.
What delay, Greg? What delay?
I was once known for my haircut. Angelina Jolie stole my husband. Those were some of the clues that were coming up. Number two, I grew up in New York City. I received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama in 2016. I led Power Memorial High School in
Ireland.
New York. Ireland.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is right, yes.
Power Memorial High
School in New York to wins in 71 consecutive games.
Yeah.
Ireland, 2. Bergman, nothing. Jorge, nothing. Maybe these clues are too tough for you guys.
Maybe they're just put towards Ireland.
Number three, I have 6 children. I was nominated for an Academy Award for my role in A Mighty Heart. Vogue, Vanity Fair, and People have named me the most beautiful woman in the world. I stole Jennifer Aniston's husband.
Greg.
Angelina
Jolie. Angelina
Jolie is absolutely correct. All right. Ireland 2, Bergman 1, Jorge 1.
That was pretty funny.
Number 4, I grew up in Queens, New York. In 1997, I won Parade Magazine's award for best high school basketball player in the country. I played at the University of Rhode Island.
John.
Greg.
John.
Lamar Odom.
Yep.
Lamar Odom is correct. Right. Yes, Lamar Odom.
Jorge, you live out there?
Yeah, I'm timing out the set here.
Okay. Here's number 5. It's Ireland 3, Bergman 1, Jorge nothing. Number 5, I was born in San Francisco in 1951. I was small as a teenager and had trouble making the high school football team because I weighed 110 pounds as an incoming freshman. I played free safety at the University of the Pacific.
Ireland. Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll is correct.
Oh,
yes.
I was going to say Rudy.
Back at Pacific.
Rudy.
Ireland 4, Bergman 1, Jorge nothing.
Jeez.
Number 6, I was born in Shawnee, Oklahoma. My acting role models were Gary Oldman, Sean Penn, and Mickey Rourke. I left my wife, Jennifer Aniston, to run
Jorge.
Away with Jorge.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is correct, yes!
All right. There is a theme here.
We've got all 3 in the love triangle now. Ireland has clinched the win. Bergman and Jorge won each. We'll play the last one for fun. I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, but grew up in Canada. My dad played professional soccer. At my boarding school, I played basketball, soccer, and rugby. During my senior year in high school, I led my team to the basketball championship in British Columbia. I played college basketball at Santa Clara.
Ireland.
Ireland. No.
It's Steve Nash.
Yeah. It's Steve Nash. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So Ireland with virtually a clean sweep there. We'll do the tiebreaker just for fun. How many regular season points did Steve Nash score in his career? Ireland, you go first. How many regular season points did Steve Nash score in his career?
God, I have no idea. 12,000.
12,000. Bergman.
Don't want to go higher or lower. Let's go 10,000.
10,000. Interesting play. Jorge? There's an obvious play.
12,001.
12,001 is going to carry the day.
Ah.
Steve Nash scored 17,387 points in his regular season career. So there you have it. There is.
By the way, can I end with some breaking news?
Yeah, please.
To no one's surprise, Shohei Ohtani just won the American League MVP award.
To no one's surprise.
Bryce Harper won it in the NL.
And by the way, Mace, to answer your question earlier.
Yep.
Unanimous. He unanimously won the
award. Oh, it
was
unanimous.
Award. Yep.
Yeah. There was speculation that this could be a unanimous award. That
yep,
does make
sense. He got every single first place vote.
Once you're one of the best hitters in the league and one of the best pitchers in the league, you absolutely should.
Vladimir Guerrero got 29 second place votes. And for somebody voted for Salvador Perez for second place. But Ohtani got all 30 first place votes.
Salvi had a good year. That makes sense.
So ESPN Los Angeles Twitter handle just tweeted out is at the Mace Mafia, Steve Mason's burner account. And it's got a picture of me with multiple phones in my hands and for some reason in a purple sport coat.
It also tagged Venice Mace Burner in the picture.
Yes. And Mason Mafia tweeted, sexy.
Mason Mafia follows me.
Does Mason Mafia? Everybody's got to follow. It is at Mace Mafia, M-A-C-E Mafia. If you want to follow,
look at you promoting your own burner account.
The account.
You're so good at this stuff.
You know what? Tomorrow I intend to demonstrate once and for all that this is not my burner account.
How are you going to demonstrate that?
I'm going to find the guy behind at the Mace Mafia and bring him onto the show.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Juan, you're going to go on mic.
I can't wait to see who you get to fake your the writer of your burner account. This is very interesting.
Yeah, no, it's gonna happen. Tomorrow it'll happen. Momo will be here. By the way, also tomorrow we'll get you ready for Lakers versus Boston. Lakers lose last night in Milwaukee, a night when Giannis really had his way with the Lakers. He is just a monster. That's it for us. We are back tomorrow. Me and Momo will be here tomorrow at 12:55 sharp. Sedano and Cap, our buddies Scott and George, will be here next, 710 ESPN.